Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another Liberty Conspiracy Audio.
Hi, everybody. This is Brett, and welcome back to School Sucks Podcast. Today is the 25th of January, 2012, and today on the show, you're going to hear something that I did on Monday with our old friend of the show, Gardner Goldsmith. You should know that Gardner, who for a long time has been doing his Liberty Conspiracy podcast, has now turned that into a live show. And he does it Sunday through Thursday. You can hear it on the Liberty Radio Network. You can find that at lrn.fm. You can stream it there. He follows Free Talk Live. And months ago, before he even had started doing the show, we talked about the possibility of me coming on and co-hosting once a week. And I think this would be great. I would love to do a live show. I would not want to do it by myself and kind of rely on people to call in for content. I would love to have people call in on a show, but it's nice to have somebody there to talk to in between calls. And, you know, still tentative, but I think this is going to become a weekly thing. Gardner and I hosting together the Liberty Conspiracy live show. And I will say that obviously you won't hear a show that's entirely focused on education, even though that does enter into a lot of our discussions, but this will be a good chance, since it's always such an educational experience with Gardner. This will be a good chance to maybe explore some historical topics in more depth and provide some context to some of the current events discussions that are going on right now. I think in this show, you're going to hear the first hour of the Monday show, and I think we spend most of the time talking about the TSA. Ooh, you know about them, right? Oh, boy. So, yeah, that's it. I was really excited about this. Always enjoy working with Gardner. He and I have a good time together. But one more thing before we hear the show. I wanted to say thank you to Matt or Matthew. I'm not sure what you go by, Matt or Matthew, for signing up to be a monthly subscriber. That is so appreciated. So thank you. And thanks to everybody else, too, for all the recent activity on Facebook and YouTube. That's great stuff. Thank you so much. If you want to learn how you can help School Sucks out a little bit, go to schoolsucksproject.com and click on the support tab, and you'll see so many things you could do. So many things you can do. Some of them are easy. Some of them are really easy. Some of them require money. It's up to you. If you can do anything to help, that's greatly appreciated. All right, so here is the show that I did with Gardner on Monday night, and look forward to your feedback about this. If this is a go in the future, I look forward to your calls on the show. Ooh, and I almost forgot. Throughout this audio, I think we had some connection problems. You're going to hear this little crackling. Sounds a little bit like those aliens from that movie Signs. Remember them? I don't think that's what it was, though. Of course, it is 2012, and this is the year that they come. And they probably will look like that, you know, the sort of reptilian green. Boy, I hope this isn't the first time you've heard this show. So thank you very much for listening, and take care.
To Liberty Conspiracy Radio. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Thank you very much for joining us on this Monday night in January. From our headquarters in Studio B, this is the Liberty Conspiracy. Thank you for being a fellow conspirator wherever you might be, listening to us live at lrn.fm, the Liberty Radio Network. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Ian and all the gang from Free Talk Live who precede us. I hope you will consider, if you are very interested in the fundamental principles of freedom, consider listening to that show. If you're just discovering us, make sure you check them out and go to freetalklive.com. Our website is libertyconspiracy.com because freedom is out of fashion nowadays. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, LG Grande, Buenos Whatever. And tonight, I am very pleased because here in Studio C. We're not in Studio A right now at the Palatial Goldsmith Estate. We are in Studio C, and I am currently next to a guy that I admire greatly. Those people who are familiar with a lot of the new pathbreakers in libertarian recording, audios, and now video are probably familiar with this name. But if you're not, get familiar with it. You'll have a great time, and you'll want to find out about the School Sucks podcast. School Sucks podcast, a creation of Brett Vinat, and Brett is right here with me right now. How you doing, Brett?
Hey, Gardner. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here, brother.
And buenos noches.
Buenos noches to you, too. Absolutely, man. And thank you very much for coming into the studio.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I wanted to give you the opportunity before we even got started.
Sure.
Tell people a little bit about School Sucks podcast. And also, now the new videos that you've got, which,
yeah.
Folks, before we started, Brett was showing me some of these videos. They're up on YouTube. And they're great. But first, let's talk about the audios that you make.
Sure. Well, School Sucks podcast is a look into the problems. Well, problems depending on who you're talking about. Like, problems for the people who are on the recipient end of the so-called service.
Yeah.
There's no problem for the state. There's no problem for the politicians or the people who are, connected to the government school system
that's
working. It's like the best working government program ever as far as they're concerned. But we talk about the problems that it creates, especially for young people, for families, and how that translates into certain kinds of thinking in adulthood and what that means for, society and culture. And
you do such great work on it, and you have such a depth of knowledge and a breadth of knowledge that people, if they're interested in history, if they're interested in linguistics, if they're interested in psychology or sociology, you can get all these things. And I've learned a lot just from listening to you. It's always fun. We often talk about Stefan Molyneux, and Steph's just an amazing philosopher.
Sure.
Hey, even if he is Canadian. No, just kidding, because we don't really care about borders. And Steph is an amazing guy. And it's the same thing. I listened to you, and I said, man, that was a great insight. That was really good. And you always give people a nugget that they can take with them, or a whole handful of nuggets they can take with them.
Well, thank you. I certainly don't mind that comparison.
Oh, that's
I don't
awesome.
Know how Steph feels about it.
Well, I hope he likes it. And now tell everybody about the videos as well that they can find.
Sure. First of all, our website is schoolsucksproject.com. And from there, you can get access to our YouTube channel, which is School Sucks Podcast on YouTube. And I've started to make some videos that come from previous highlights from the audio, and now I'm putting video.
Sort of amplifying them with the new recordings,
yes.
New video that goes with them.
Yep.
And you just showed me one. Maybe we'll get into it later in the program about the concept of we.
Yeah.
And that one really struck home to me. I just thought that was a fantastic one, because that one really gets into the psychology of groupthink.
Sure.
And clan mentality and us against them. And it's great. It's great. And also, I want to mention, if people are on iTunes, obviously, they can get your podcast very easily. They can find it at iTunes, free to download. They can go to the website and download it from the website as well.
Yep. Right?
Excellent. Excellent. Brett, thanks. So really appreciate you coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, I guess we should start off with the big story for a lot of people right now, the breaking story, but we'll see if we can derive some long-standing principles and give people some nuggets to take with them here as well. And that is the story about Rand Paul. Rand Paul at a Nashville, Tennessee airport today, big news everywhere. He went through their radiation porn scanner thing, which now just has sort of a blob, so it's not very stimulating anymore. It's sort of sad.
Right.
Yeah, and it bleeped. And so Rand Paul was stopped, and he has said before on the Senate floor that he would not allow himself to be searched bodily, and he doesn't want other people to have to be searched bodily.
Really? Not just for senators, huh?
Yes. Yes, so.
Privacy for everyone.
Absolutely.
That's
amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, so he was stopped by the TSA people, and he, in fact, refused their body search.
Mm-hmm.
He lifted his leg. The bleeps were in his leg. He lifted his pant leg and showed them there's nothing there. And he was willing to go back through the radiation scanner. Now, this is all being said on the superficial side of it right now. I'm sort of mimicking or parroting what I've heard on television. And if you go to libertyconspiracy.com, everybody, you'll see that there are some articles that go more into depth. And we're going to go in more in depth here as well, beyond just, oh, the TSA, you know, they're touching people and that's wrong and so on and so forth. There's a lot more involved with this. And we discussed some of this before, but since this is a big story, I thought, you know, I'd love to get people's opinions on it, like to get yours. And Rand Paul has said that what happened was he was pulled aside. He said he was detained by the TSA. The TSA said, oh, no, we're not detaining. We didn't detain him. Well, he wasn't free to leave. And then when he used his phone, they said, you can't use your phone. You're here. And he said, well, I thought I was free to leave. No, you're being detained. So they actually told him he was being detained. And then they called the local cops and escorted him out of the Nashville airport. So that is the story from Rand Paul's side of things. And what I think is interesting is this allows us to look at the larger panoply of, A, the constitutional side of things, and then to actually say to ourselves, maybe there are some reasons that the politicians have skirted the Constitution and gotten around the Constitution, and that the Constitution hasn't held these guys back from infringing on rights that are supposed to be protected by the existence of this government.
Right.
It's a weird circular logic to say, well, we're going to form the government that can take your rights, but it's there to protect your rights. See what I'm saying? Yeah, that works.
Well, doesn't it need to take your rights to protect them, though?
Exactly.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So let's quickly play you a little bit of this story from, I believe this is MSNBC, right when it happened. See if we can get this going here for you.
News, an update for you over the last half an hour. A lot of questions about whether Senator Rand Paul was detained by the TSA today. His aides say that he was. The TSA telling NBC News that he wasn't. NBC News' Kelly O'Donnell joins me now live from Washington to sort all of this out. So, Kelly, what's the latest?
Well, when you use the word detained, law enforcement has a very specific definition for that. And apparently that's why U.S. officials are kind of disputing it, that they say that he was not detained, taken into custody by the TSA. But there is no dispute that he was not permitted to get on his flight. The Kentucky senator was going through airport security today, and there was the full body scanner machine, and it was set off. Apparently an area on his right leg showed some sort of an anomaly. He went through the scanner, lifted his pant leg, his aides say, to show there was no metal there. He said he had no metal. Nothing should have set it off. He called it a glitch. He asked to go back through the machine, and they did not allow him to do that. They instead said he would need to have a targeted full-body pat-down. If you know Rand Paul's position on that issue, he has been a very vocal critic of those pat-downs and has challenged the TSA administrator at hearings here on Capitol Hill about those steps going too far in his view. And so he refused to do that and was apparently not permitted on his flight, was taken away by local police, so that may be part of the distinction, and not able to board his flight. I'm told he's still at the airport now and not in anyone's custody. Thomas?
We'll see if he gets a redo through all of this.
So
NBC's
there's
Kelly
a story
O'Donnell.
For you. We're going to come back and give you more information.
It's based in the United States.
And we'll give you an opportunity to give us a call with your opinions about this. And if you're maybe a Tea Party person, you want to go back to the Constitution, maybe we'll offer you some thinking that might tell you you don't want to go back to the Constitution. Our phone number, 603-835-3360, 603-835-3360 at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. We're back at Liberty Conspiracy Radio. LG Grande, Gardner Goldsmith here with you, along with
Brett Vinat.
Brett is here from School Sucks, schoolsucksproject.com. That's where you find all the great School Sucks source material, and then you can head off to the videos over at YouTube. From there, you can get the audios. You can download them from iTunes. And, so I want to promote this guy as much as possible because he's freaking great. So there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. You're like Tony Tiger said about Frosted Flakes. They're great. I was joking around the other day, like, what happens with the people who tried out for the cereal things, you know, the cartoon characters who tried out for the cereal boxes, but they just weren't good enough. Like, maybe there was a Timmy the Tiger who went in just, like, an hour before and was like, they're pretty good. No, sorry, you're gone, you know. Maybe there's an angry brother to Lucky the Leprechaun.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he goes to the United States and he's very popular. What do I have? I get a potato famine, that's what I get.
Well, I think generally you can't really expect cartoon animals to understand the advertising world very well. So when you do get a good one, I mean, Tony the Tiger, he's been around 25 years
at
least.
He's the man. He's awesome.
Because, yeah, you really got to stick with it when you find a good animated animal. I mean, even non-animated animals have trouble grasping the whole, you know, advertising world. So
that's right. Hey, by the way, a little anecdote. I don't know if you've seen this. The documentary on How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the guy is saying, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." The same guy who used to do Tony the Tiger's voice. He passed away 2 years ago. Yeah, amazing dude. So listen, everybody, thanks for joining us at Liberty Conspiracy Radio, and I really appreciate us being able to get together. We started the program by discussing Rand Paul's incident at the Nashville, Tennessee airport. Our phone number is 603-835-3360. That's 603-835-3360 if you want to give us a call and sound off on this topic. But it's not just, see, I hate this sort of, you know, sound off on the most recent topic on talk radio. We're going to take 1,000 calls an hour and get no substance. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't stand that. So what we wanted to do, and Brent and I talked a little bit about this, and I want to go through a little bit on the constitutional side on what the government is supposed to do and supposed to not do. And what is happening inside the airports that runs completely contrary to this. That's on for the Tea Party people, maybe conservatives or whatever, and even some Democrats who are interested in privacy. They've spoken out about the TSA. But to go beyond that into not just the history of how the federal government got involved with getting into the airports, that would have happened eventually anyway, but also to look beyond that, beyond the Constitution, and give you some thinking about whether the Constitution really should even apply to you. And are there other ways to do this sort of thing? So, Brett, why don't we start off? If people go to the Liberty Conspiracy website, they'll see I had some comments there. I said, you know, the presence of the TSA in the airports is unconstitutional and presents a false dichotomy. It's a false choice of a pat-down or a scan. And I said both of them are of course, infringements of the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment states very clearly that in order to search someone's body or his property, you must have a warrant, and the warrant must be issued by a judge. So the way they get away with this stuff is they claim that the federal government has jurisdiction here because they say, well, the airplanes go over state borders, and federal money has been used to build many of these airports. So therefore, even though you're supposed to have these rights that are sacrosanct, we all know, guess what? It's just a big game. We're the government. We break your rights in order to exist because we have to be able to get your property and your money.
Not a new thing either here.
No, not a new thing. And so they'll say, we're going to put ourselves in the airports. Then they give you the false choice. They're saying, well, you give up. You willingly gave up your right against unwarranted searches and seizures by wanting to get an airplane.
There's a lot of talk, too, I think, switching from rights. And I've heard one of the presidential candidates, Rick Santorum.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. He's... anyway, switching out the word rights and putting in the word privileges, is not the right direction.
No, that's for sure. That's absolutely right. But this is the sort of thing. Well, let's go back. We're just going to give some factual information. I mentioned a little bit about this last week. And then we're going to take it beyond this. Hopefully we'll give you some nuggets to take with you after this. The federal government got involved with the regulation of the airlines starting in the 1920s with what they called lighted air routes for the United States Postal Service. And, of course, in the Constitution, it gives Congress the power to start a post office, not the post office. Just ask Lysander Spooner about that one in the 1800s.
Right.
He tried. He was doing a better job, and they shut him down. So these were visual flight rules, and no other airlines that were starting up, Pan Am, any of the others, could fly along those routes. They were prohibited from flying along those routes. Then FDR got involved, started handing out money for a lot of different projects, which included airports. If he could get political help, then, hey, guess what? You've got money coming. You got mail. You've got money coming your way. It grew and grew and grew until finally, you know, with 2001, the federal government, well, then you have the FAA controlling things. And I often mention to people, why do you think there's an airport in one of the worst cities you could ever be in the wintertime? And it's a hub. Why? It's Chicago. Why? Because Chicago's an incredibly corrupt and important corrupt city for politicians. That's why they have a hub in Chicago. Like, why in the world would they want to do that? So it hasn't followed market procedures. And now we get this. And I said, look, if they say that you're coming into an airport and you're willingly giving up your Fourth Amendment rights, then they could say, we also built the interstate highway system. Your local and your state governments run the roads. So if you want to go out of your house to get to work, you're willingly giving up your Fourth Amendment rights. So this is the sort of thing that has a lot of ramifications, and people aren't seeing that.
And people, you know, really respond to crisis and the fear that comes from those crises.
So right.
So it's always just at certain times, and it's very slow, but it's happening everywhere, and it's happening all the time. Just in this part of government, let's just open this little door a tiny bit.
This is so right. Absolutely.
But with government, it really is like a door at the bottom of a lake and saying, well, we're just going to let in a little bit of water.
Here comes the flood.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we have the other false choice now, too, where people are being told, well, you don't have to fly. You have a choice to not fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, you have a choice. You can deal with all of these infringements on your privacy from the TSA, or you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go on that business trip.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That your family depends on. You don't have to go visit your sick mother in Florida.
They do this all the time. For example, they only license, five companies to create vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to get a vaccine, you're going to have to deal with one of these five companies, even though one of them a couple years ago was proven to have just been a waste, this Irish company. And these are the ones that we license. So there you go. You've got your choice. We gave it to you.
Right.
And I liken it to being on a slave plantation and them saying, well, you know, you've got an opportunity to talk to the intermediary between you and the slave master, and you can get a few things from him. We've given you choices. It's just bizarre. The thinking is absolutely bizarre.
Right.
And now you brought up a great point during the break, which I think is really key, and that has to do with those people who talk about the Constitution. We want to bring up a point to them that goes all the way back in American history to the very signing of the Constitution. If you think the Constitution is there to protect you, think logically, and then you might be thinking again. Tell us a little
look
bit about
closer.
This.
Yeah, and I believe this was something that was...
Well, you know what? We'll take a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back with Brett. He'll start things off in our next segment. Give us a call if you're so inclined. The number is 603-835-3360. Put it on your bathroom wall, your political poison control center. Brett Vinant, Gardner Goldsmith, we're here at the Liberty Conspiracy in the secret Studio C, located someplace in icy southern New Hampshire. We can't tell you where. If you haven't seen Muse live, oh my God, you got to see Muse live. That's all I have to say. I've seen them just in the past, I think, year and a half. I've ended up seeing them like five or six times. Brett here with me, Gardner Goldsmith. Brett, good to have you back, man.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
This is a really, really good time. I was telling Brett, you know, having him here really adds so much. And thank you very much for listening, everybody, to Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. It's LRN.FM. And before the break, previously on Liberty Conspiracy, before the break, we were talking about the TSA and sort of trying to go beyond that now. We talked about how the federal government got involved with the regulation of the airways and how it is really not constitutional. They use this slippery reading of the Constitution to be able to say, well, the planes go over state borders, we can regulate them. That's not what the Interstate Commerce Clause was designed to do. It was supposed to be about tariffs. But given that it hasn't stopped the government, let's maybe take a critical look at that Constitution thang.
Yeah.
And talk about this, Brett. You had some great points to bring up about the Constitution and the contracts and what it is really designed to do.
Well, sure, of course. And the Constitution is only a binding contract for the people who sign their name to it and the people who take an oath to right. it. But what I think is an interesting question, probably worth pondering, because a lot of people like the Constitution. Mm-hmm. You know, the Tea Party's talking about it. Ron Paul's talking about it. He's got all kinds of young people into it.
Yep.
This whole oath to the Constitution thing, well, first of all, how many people that take that oath really take that oath seriously? But more importantly, how many, like, really influential kind of behind-the-scenes decision-makers don't take an oath to the Constitution and aren't bound by any contract, and they know that they have no, obligation. They don't even have to pretend they have an obligation to the people.
That's an excellent
point. Now, some pretty shady people probably had to take an oath to the Constitution, including Henry Kissinger, mm-hmm. because he was
Secretary of State.
Yeah. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, mm-hmm. who was very shady.
Very. Yeah, all those daughters very hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a hottie. I don't know. She's on some network.
Yeah, Eastern European. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, the other thing, too, is those are the people that we've heard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
those
what I mean?
Those are the ones we know. The rest of them in that.
Those are the ones who were, so audacious that their heads, poked out from the shadows and we saw who they actually were.
Yeah.
How many people like that are a little bit more clever and a little bit more hidden?
You know, it's interesting, obviously, some of the thinking behind recognizing that the Constitution is a contract that only has an obligation to those people who signed it and those people who take an oath. Lysander Spooner, we mentioned him in the previous segment, terrific thinker based out of Massachusetts, wrote The Constitution of No Authority, No Treason, The Constitution of No Authority. It's a very brief pamphlet that he wrote, but it is excellent. And the insight into contract law and contract theory applies so beautifully. And those of you who may be new to this, just think to yourselves, we were talking about this before the break, actually during the break, I said, what if I wrote a contract for you and said, I've signed this for you, and you don't even live near me. You have no idea that I've signed this for you. But because you live in a certain area, I'm saying it applies to you. And in perpetuity, it will apply to your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Thank you. I'd be here all day.
Mm.
I mean, it's not a contract. It's not a contract, as you say, except for those people who signed it and those people, the politicians who swear an oath to uphold it. But they don't care because they've got other incentives, clearly.
Now, I know you're not giving legal advice here.
No.
But if my cell phone provider told me that I can't get out of that service because I was entered into it automatically based on the landmass on which I was born, are they lying?
It sounds kind of shady to me. That's the real Slim Shady right there.
All right.
I don't know. Now, but if they have guns and they can take your house or your property, or put your hands together with these bracelets and put you in a little rape room with bars.
Yeah.
Then it's okay. If you because you'll have to pay, otherwise they'll do that to you.
Oh, and my service would just be terrible. I would have no bargaining chips. They'd be like, have you seen these guns that are pointed at you pretty much whenever we want?
This is one of the great things to have you here, because it allows us to go beyond the Constitution and real principles of freedom. And this is what we're talking about with government, everybody. As we mentioned at the very beginning of the show, government can only exist by threatening to take your property and by then taking it. And if you try to hold on to your property, you'll go to jail, because it is really just a protection racket. And there's not much difference between the government and a gang, except that they call it the law. And we mentioned previously that what we try to do also is draw this distinction between the supposed, what they tell us is, are we a nation of laws or a nation of men? First of all, there's the whole we thing. I didn't know I was part of your deal. So it's already assumed that you're part of the agreement.
Yeah.
Every time they mention the we. Then they have this idea of the laws. Well, the men write the laws. They go down to these big marble buildings and granite buildings, and they write the laws. And they will write whatever laws they want. And people say, well, it's participatory democracy. Really? What if I don't want to participate? Or what if I participate and I lose? Does that mean I still accept it?
It really shows the breakdown in consistency and reasoning that so many people participating or thinking about politics are subjected to because of their schooling is they talk about the law, right? And it's the law. Like, it came from the heavens. But the people who make the laws, ask them what they think of those people. So what's your general opinion of Congress?
That's right.
You know, because 90% of people that you'll talk to will say, it's the law. But then those same 90, you know, those same people, about 10% of them, will approve of the people who make the laws.
That is an excellent point, Brett. You know, it's fascinating.
Put those two together.
Excellent. Folks, if you want to give us a call, don't forget, if you happen to get around a phone and you want to give us a ring, the number is 835-3360 in the 603 area code. 603-835-3360. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and he is...
Brett Vinat.
And you can find his work at schoolsucksproject.com.
Yes.
And, so I wanted to just mention a couple things, Brett. You know, when you look at the idea of... logically, if you look at it, you say, okay, politicians have to represent you so that your ideas can be... Why? And they have to write the laws that would represent what you believe? Why do you need that to happen? Why can't you just do it yourself? And because either they think the bulk of people are too... incapable of doing it themselves, which then means what? If you're incapable of doing it for yourself, how can you vote for somebody to do it for you? He's a human being too.
Yeah.
So that just doubles the problem. You're incapable of deciding for your own life and your own associations, and yet you're capable of deciding that someone else who is also incapable of deciding for his own life, he's going to go down there.
You're kind of a nitwit in all respects, right? But what you can do is assign one supreme delegate who will take care of all these things.
Exactly.
And he's not a nitwit.
It goes right back to the Platonic who watches the Watchers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
right.
and this is one of the major inherent fallacies behind government. And it also is very interesting because when you look at some of the more liberal people will say, you know, we need government. In other words, you must pay,
right?
Because otherwise the poor wouldn't be helped. There's a piece that a good friend of mine posted. He's more of a liberal guy. He posted a comment from another friend of mine, a writer, that has a picture of a man in a mirror. And he's got a scar on his chest. He's topless. He's got a scar on his chest. Yes, obviously had some terrible surgery. And he's holding a sign up. And he must have flipped the picture around so you can read the sign. And it says, you know, I was working at such and such a job. I lost my job. I was working part-time. Then the economy collapsed and so on and so forth. And he says, then I got diagnosed with cancer. Let me tell you. The churches won't help you. The doctors won't do your services for you. I am the 99%. So the implication is only government can do it, and it's got to do it. We're going to have to take a break. We'll come back and talk about some of this fallacious thinking and why it's circular logic as well. Mm. And then we're going to introduce you to a subject we'll discuss in the next hour, which is we mentioned that term we. Great video that Brett's got out on YouTube. I hope you check it out. We'll return after we hear from people backing us up. The drama that is freedom. Welcome back to Liberty Conspiracy Radio with music from Killing Joke. This is the song The Wait. It's from their first album. I hope you will check it out because Jazz Pullman, he's not all the way in line with libertarian thinking, but he is pretty darn close. Jazz Pullman, an amazing guy. An amazing guy next to me. I'm buttering him up right now as he gets ready to speak on the microphone. Brett Vinat is with me of School Sucks Podcast. I'm Gardner Golson. Brett, thanks, man.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this gets me nice and relaxed here having you as my sidekick dude. You're the man, my co-host on here. It's like it totally changes my perspective on coming live on the radio.
I'm glad to hear that. Like I said during the break, I would be... Not only would I not know what to do, I think that's why I would be completely terrified to do a live show by myself.
Well, it's weird. You know, sometimes you can really dig in and you're like, okay, yeah, I got this challenge in front of me. Here I go. I got my technology laid out. Okay, things are going to work. I was mentioning to Brett, everybody, that when I worked on the radio, I told this story to a fine young woman I'm dating right now. She's really nice. I hope she's listening right now. We'll see. But I told this story to her, and I told this to Brett, everybody. This is very interesting because when I was on in Manchester, New Hampshire, I do these skits with John McCain calling in, and we would have them recurring, these skits, over and over again. And, you know, it would just get totally ridiculous. He would bleep me when I said the word Constitution or freedom or whatever. He's like, how dare you say such an offensive word, you little maniac? I'm John McCain. Don't you get it? So I would pre-record them, and it would be me talking like I was on the radio, and then I would have my voice with a little phone effect doing John McCain, so it sort of challenged, you know, it didn't sound exactly like me. And then we'd have it all prepared. I would talk live at WGIR, and then I would give some lead-in and say, okay, let's go to the phones, and then boom, I'd point to my producer, Jason Richardson, who had it all queued up, and then he would play the skit, and we'd sit back and listen, and we would laugh, and it would be funny. At least we thought it was funny, but I don't think John McCain would have liked them, but screw him. So, yeah. So one time I wanted to do the skit, and I had it all written up, but I didn't have enough time to record it beforehand. And there was, sometimes we'd be hopping back and forth during commercial breaks, and I would, like, record one line and go back, and Jason would edit it during breaks. It was nuts. It was insane. And he was amazing. So what I did was I wrote it down all on one sheet. And I had a microphone and the cough button for my voice. And if I wanted to cut the microphone out, I could touch the cough button.
Now, that's clever.
That was cool. That was cool. And then we had a phone in the studio, and I called into Jason. So that would be my John McCain source. And I actually said, I'll read it live. I'll do it live. Mm-hmm. So I call in, and I've got the phone, and I'm going, and I said, on the microphone, I say, okay, let's go to your next call. Then I hit the cough button, pick up the phone, I go, hey, you little radio man, it's me, John McCain. Then I put the phone, you know, bring the phone away from the microphone so I don't get feedback. Then I take the cough button off, and I go, oh, Senator McCain. Then I hit the cough button again. Yeah, that's right, you little pinhead, it's me. So I'm going back and forth, just like making it up as I go. I had it written out, but it was fun, you know. And mm-hmm. then I was telling Brett, everybody, that I got to the bottom of the page. And at one point, both my hands were being taken up by the cough button and the phone because I was doing John McCain. And I realized I had to flip the page over to get the rest of John McCain's lines. And I couldn't do it because both hands were being used. So I had to do some quick ad-libbing so that I could actually flip the page over. So now I know why, like, audio recording people, when they go from a script, they don't use one sheet or another. First, they don't want to flip it and make noise, and second of all, you take that sheet away and you let it slide and you go to the next sheet that's underneath it. So I learned a lesson. It's cool.
Well, I just carry a teleprompter around with me.
And like Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Or who else? Pretty much everybody. I mean, Rick Santorum, when he looks at his teleprompter, he looks sort of like a raccoon, you know, like he's a frightened raccoon. It's kind of scary.
Now, I'm not into these people. Like, I don't
like
go and hear them speak. I have no interest in that whatsoever.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Do they really have... Like, I know Obama does, and he's kind of known for that, but do these people really bring...
At the big ones, they do.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And, then, you know, but you bring something up, and then this will get us to our finishing off this topic about the TSA and whether the Constitution is going to protect you or whatever. I can't stand dealing with those people, and that's one of the major reasons why they are some of the most boorish, obnoxious, conceited, arrogant people I could ever imagine, 99.9% of all politicians. I don't want to talk about them, but if I can talk about the principles and derive something from something they said, or if I can poke fun at them, that's all I'll be able to survive. I can survive that. You know, I can feel like, yeah, I got something positive, and I gave it to somebody, and we totally mocked someone. That's awesome. They totally love it. But God almighty, you know, having to get up every day when I did a talk radio show every day for, you know, a talk station where I couldn't really do exactly what I wanted to do, it was friggin' torture.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look at these people. Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, hello, I'm John Kerry. Vietnam, Vietnam, Vietnam. I mean, shut up, man. I can't deal with you people. So when you can get the principles, it's great. Now, we were talking leading up to the end of this hour. We sort of went through some of the things for everybody about the Constitution and contracts and things like that. But tell us a little bit about something that you've got in a video that we'll discuss in the next hour, which I think is a great thing. We've sort of touched on it a little bit, in a podcast that we did called The Royal We.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us a little bit about this podcast, and we'll get into the subject in more detail coming up soon in the next hour.
Sure. This deals specifically with the concept of collectivism. And you can get people, and this really, I believe, happens through schooling, to do this sort of neuro-linguistic programming where they believe that they are actually part of the government, that we're all in it together.
That's right.
And that makes them very defensive and very apologetic about pointing out certain aspects of what the state does. Because they, even if they don't realize it, I think they view it as a personal attack.
And I think all of the accoutrements that they add to that, like frosting to layers of cake, the sweeteners to it, the great historical figures, the Constitution. And we were talking about how the Constitution, people think, yes, it's part of us.
Yeah.
It protects us. It's like, and if you actually rip off the artifice, it doesn't protect you. It's not designed to protect you. It's not a contract that you signed. Just because you live here doesn't mean that you signed anything. You don't agree to anything.
We're not even really dealing with that in theory anymore, since the Constitution's power, as far as what it grants to the federal government, accounts for like 3 or 4% of what the federal government does today.
Absolutely.
And its reach and the extent of its power today.
Yeah. So what can we do? What are some other ways in which we can look at this? We'll throw the question out to you if you want to give us a call. 603-835-3360. That is the number, 603-835-3360, if you want to give us a call, Liberty Conspiracy Radio. And this linguistic juggernaut that hits people from basically the time they can understand anything and start watching television, I think it's uncomfortable sometimes for people to hear this, because there were some admirable guys who were around during the Revolution, and they used this sort of thing to say, well, you know, you've got a great heritage. These people came before. But when it comes right down to it, that was a totally different world. Those people fought their own battles, and what they fought for, in many cases, when they wrote the Constitution, most of the people who were involved with the Revolution didn't attend the Constitutional Convention because they knew it was basically a coup, and it was going to expand central government. Now, some of them were really hardcore anti-government. Those people who were often called Cato, writing Cato's letters. Many of them were violently opposed to government at all. Some of them wanted just the states to exist and to only have a loose confederation to block trade barriers and things like that. But when they throw all these things down at people and they wave the flag and they talk about the heroes, you're right. I think there's this emotional impact that it has, and how can we at all question the great document that they came up with? In the meantime, the congressmen, they'll bandy around the term constitutional all the time, and they don't care.
Well, it depends. I think Republicans are more into things like constitution and freedom and limited government when they are not running the government.
Yeah.
Because when they're in charge, it seems like all of that stuff takes a back seat, if not being, you know, thrown out of the speeding car altogether.
Yeah.
And constitution, liberty, freedom all get replaced with one word, security. You know, what we saw, because the government is going to grow no matter who's in charge.
Yeah.
And the Democrats, when they were out of power, when Bush was in the White House and they controlled both houses of Congress up until, I think that ended in 2006, they were talking about all of these encroachments and all of these expansions of the executive branch under George Bush. When Barack Obama was elected president and none of that stuff was reined in, none of that stuff was drawn back, they went silent. And their war protests diminished greatly, too, even though nothing changed for years.
It's very, very scary. We're going to get back to what Brett brought up, this linguistic problem coming up. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. Give us a call. Remember the number, 603-835-3360. We've got top of the hour coming up. We'll be back in about 7 minutes at Liberty Conspiracy Radio.